Morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. It's good to see your faces. It's good to be back home. Wow. Feels good. Feels good. So welcome to any visitors who are worshiping with us. We're delighted you're here with us today. Please receive this call to worship this morning. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Come to green pastures where God restores our souls. Come, everyone who suffers, all who fear death, God will comfort us. See, the table is set, even in the midst of our enemies. God is our host and anoints us with oil. Our cups overflow. Surely goodness and mercy are with us every day, and God will welcome and provide for us forever. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we come before your throne today, thanking you. We're gracious. We have this opportunity to gather for worship here this morning. And I pray, Father God, that there be a true spirit of worship that would manifest itself in our midst here today, that you would be honored and glorified and exalted and lifted up. And as a result of that, people will be drawn closer and closer to you. So I ask for your blessing upon our time here today. And I pray that whatever is said and done, the words that are spoken, the songs that are sung, would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you please join in worshiping in song?
During our first song, if you did not give your offerings this morning, we invite you to do so.
Tell me the story of Jesus, light of my heart everywhere. Tell me the story of faith. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you again that we can take this day and use it to honor and worship you. Father, we are so blessed by you. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of our pastors. And we just ask that our offering today to help support the pastors be used according to your word. Father, I lift up Pastor Larry and thank him for him, and be with him as he gives us your word today. Father, during this season of Advent, as we look forward to Christmas, that Lord, that the anticipation, the expectation should be as always. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to experience all that we experience, to overcome it, and eventually to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can live and be with you forever. We are so grateful for that, and we never want to forget that. But Father, again, we lift up this time as we seek to honor and worship you. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can cast all of our cares on you. Yes, thank you that you do care about us and what is going on in our lives. And God, as we sing some Christmas songs this time of year, we know that Christmas was only the beginning. From the manger, Jesus saw a straight line to the cross. He knew what he was here to do. And we just thank you that he humbled himself to come and die for our sins. And God, we just pray your touch on Larry now as he brings your word and as he begins to teach us what you taught him while he was on sabbatical. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heavens, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Well, greetings to each one of you in the strong name of Jesus, the one whose birth that we'll be celebrating in a few, maybe 12 days, I believe it is. Thank you, Lucy, for reading the scriptures and Ella for lighting the candles. We appreciate that very much. Wow. Like I mentioned earlier, it feels so good. So good to be back home. I must admit that the last 2 weeks I was beginning to get a little bit antsy as I was anticipating returning from being refreshed and renewed and serving as your pastor. By that I mean I was ready to return from being refreshed and renewed. You see, I had this long list of things I needed to do around the house. So while I was anticipating sabbatical, I was making this list. And it kept growing longer and longer. And I was beginning to wonder if I would ever get all those things accomplished while I was on sabbatical. But I stand here today saying everything is crossed off the list. It feels so good to have done that. As a matter of fact, I was even asking Sandy, is there anything else that you want me to do? So it feels really good. Because of your kindness in allowing me to experience a 3-month time of refreshment and renewal. I can honestly stand here this morning and say I do feel refreshed and renewed in my spirit. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you as a congregation for making this time possible. And I also want to publicly thank Pastor Tony and the rest of the pastoral team for taking on those extra responsibilities while I was gone. May God richly bless you as a pastoral team and also you as a congregation. And also thank you for your gift back in October for pastor appreciation. I appreciate that as well. Well, today is indeed the third Sunday of Advent as we journey toward celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, our focus is on restoration. It's interesting to me that I get to share a message about restoration as I return from a time of rest and restoration. In the very familiar Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul." What does restoration look like? Well, for me, the last 3 months was a restoring of emotional and physical strength, a time of refreshment in God's presence, a time of soaking in God's presence, a time of finding contentment. You see, I find green pastures and quiet waters by camping along Pine Creek in Tioga County. I spent quite a bit of time in Tioga County these past 3 months being refreshed and restored. Not only camping, primitive camping, but also taking my wife Sandy along because she doesn't like the primitive camp. So when she goes with, we have to rent a cabin, but I enjoy that as well. So we spent some time at a cabin also in Tioga County. Maybe some of us here this morning would say or desire for things to be restored to the way they were before this whole COVID thing came about. Let's go back to normal. Let's get back to the way things used to be. Let's get back to where we feel comfortable, a degree of familiarity. Well, I do believe that God has a plan and a purpose for allowing us to walk through this time in history. So again, I say, let's be alert. Let's not miss what God is doing in the midst of this pandemic, because He is working. For others, restoration may look something like this. This is a 1967 Chevelle. A car like this was my very first vehicle when I turned 16. Now, this is a rusty-looking vehicle, but someone can take that and turn it into a bright, shiny, beautiful-looking 1967 Chevelle. So there you have the before and the after. It seems to me that the word restoration also carries with it a sense or a degree of hope. All throughout scriptures, we find this thread of restoration weaving its way through history right up to December 13th, 2020. And if the Lord doesn't return today, it will continue. The scripture from Isaiah 61 that was read for us this morning carries a message of hope to people in the midst of struggle and maybe hopelessness. The words of the prophet Isaiah echo throughout history to announce the Lord's favor in the midst of oppression. God does see. God does care. In my Bible, the caption for this section of verses says, "The year of the Lord's favor. So I'd just like to read those three verses again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. The words of Isaiah give hope for deliverance and restoration. Here, between the expectation of heaven's peace and this world's pain, the words of Isaiah proclaim that God is poised to do something about the strife of his people. Ashes will be turned to joy, and mourning will be turned to praise, as God's anointed one, the one on whom his spirit rests, announces the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah's original audience included people who were in great distress. The prophet's words cut through their misery with a message of hope, promising deliverance, release from their strife, and complete restoration as God's people. But Isaiah was prophesying to a people into a space and time between the captivity of Israel's northern kingdom and the coming exile of Judah, the southern kingdom. Experiencing being exiled called into question the very foundation of Israel's existence as a people, and it certainly threatened their covenant relationship with God, who had made a covenant with their forefather Abraham. So was being exiled a forfeiture of their inheritance and a forfeiture of God's promises, the promise of a land, the promise of their identity as God's chosen people, the promise of a future in the promised land. And Isaiah boldly declares that change is coming in the form of God's anointed one, claiming that the brokenhearted will be bound up, the captives will find freedom, prisoners will be released from darkness, comfort for all who mourn, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Sounds like hope. Hope and restoration. But years pass. History moves forward. Where's the anointed one? The people of Israel find themselves in bondage again, in bondage to Rome, enslaved to sin, and separated from God. Isaiah's words bounce through history, and they come to rest on Jesus of Nazareth in the synagogue in his hometown as he picks up the scroll and he reads in bold proclamation the words from Isaiah 61. And then he proclaims in Luke 4:21, as the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were on him. Sorry, I'm a little behind in my slide. There we go. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It was in this anointed one, Jesus, where the brokenhearted find hope, the captives find freedom, the prisoners find release from darkness. Jesus taught with authority. He healed the sick. He brought sight to the blind. He healed the lame so they could walk again. Restoration comes only through Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And now today, December 13th, 2020, the words of Isaiah 61 come rippling into our current world. A world filled with despair, hopelessness, and bondage. Where's the restoration? Restoration comes through an acknowledgement of our sin. Restoration comes through asking God for forgiveness of our sin. Restoration comes through submitting our lives to Jesus and allowing Him to not only be our Savior, but also our Lord. Jesus can restore instantly if He so chooses. But I would suggest to you this morning that most often, restoration is a process or a journey toward healing and wholeness. Restoration is not some man-made idea or concept. It is a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, reaching into the brokenness, reaching into the pain, reaching into those dark places. It is good news. Now, an important truth for us all to keep at the forefront of our minds is that anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ today, anyone who is part of the body of believers, anyone who is part of the true Christian church, we are now the anointed ones in our communities. His Spirit is living in us, rests upon us, empowering us to take the good news to our neighbors and our friends. Let's not forget or neglect our part. You see, we may be the only example or the only taste of God's love that our neighbors encounter. What an opportunity. It's also a responsibility that we, the body of Christ, have been given. May God help us to be faithful. So, are you ready for some more good news? Are you? Okay. Do you think you can handle it? Okay. While I was on sabbatical, I read a book that a friend gave to me. It is entitled, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And it was written by Dr. David Jeremiah. I'd recommend that you read it if you are interested in gaining more understanding of what heaven may be like. So my question is, do you ever think about heaven? Think about what it may be like. Dr. Jeremiah says in his book, and I quote, "We need to think about heaven now while we're still alive on earth. The reality of heaven doesn't just help us to die more peacefully, it helps us live more joyfully and productively," unquote. I believe the ultimate restoration will take place when Revelation 21 becomes reality. I'd like to read Revelation 21, 1-5. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. John says in his revelation that he saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now, I always thought that meant that the earth as we know it will be destroyed and there'll be a brand new earth. In his book, Dr. Jeremiah says, and he backs all this up with scripture, he says that as he has studied this topic extensively, his understanding has grown, and now it seems clear to him that the Lord will create the new heaven and earth by overhauling, by renovating, by restoring the old heaven and the old earth. Rather than being totally annihilated, the present heaven and earth will be cleansed, glorified, and equipped for our eternal use. Revelation 21, verse 3 says this. I'm repeating it again. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Eternity in the presence of our Father God. Eternity in the presence of Jesus, God's one and only Son, the one who gave his life so that we can be restored to right relationship with our Father God. Eternity in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where we will worship around the throne uninhibited forever. Ultimate restoration. Revelation 21:4. He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Ultimate restoration. But there's more. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 4. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. No longer will there be any curse. Part of the ultimate restoration is the reversal of the curse. In Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19, God says to Adam, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you will return. You see, the curse is why everything goes wrong in this world. Dr. Jeremiah says, and I quote, as we look around, we can see the earth deteriorating. You take a look at an empty field. It doesn't sprout into a beautiful flower bed, blooming with beauty and splendor. No, instead it turns into a patch of weeds. Look at our human bodies. At some point, they begin to age, break down, and fail. Look around this planet Earth. We see the effects of drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, fire, floods, not to mention the evil perpetrated by humanity's sinful nature. All this is summed up in one word, curse, unquote. But the good news is, Revelation 22:3a, no longer will there be any curse. Ultimate restoration. So as we journey toward celebrating the birth of Jesus this Christmas season, let's remember that God sent his one and only Son into this world to redeem and restore our hearts and our lives. This is possible only because of God's amazing grace. And it's all dependent upon our relationship with God. I was following a car the other day and there was a bumper sticker. And it said, "Do you follow Jesus this closely?" I thought that was pretty good. So the question is, how close are you following Jesus? And again, remember, it's only because of God's amazing grace that we can be in his presence and be restored and renewed. The road to restoration is a journey toward wholeness, culminating in ultimate restoration and the reversal of the curse. We have much to look forward to. Amen? Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this world. And we understand today that he knew exactly why he was here. He knew exactly what his mission was, that it would end at the cross and then end in his resurrection from the dead so that we can have that precious gift of the salvation of our souls and eternal life. So help us today to be reminded again of your love for each one of us. And also as we look forward to that day when the curse will be reversed, help us to live today in the here and now with a spirit of joy and thanksgiving because you have restored us. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
people here, either via video or in person, telling us about Christmas celebrations across the world, different missionaries that serve overseas, and so it's just going to be a really fun time of learning about Christmas in other places, as well as time to sing Christmas songs and just celebrate Christ's birth here as well. So you're all welcome to come out to that. The offering will be split between some of the missionaries that will be speaking, as well as local community needs here. The offering will be done just as we do on a Sunday morning. The offering plates will be up here up front. And then there will be bags of cookies available for you in the foyers as you leave. So that's how snack will be done. And it will be live streamed if you're not able to make it out. So thank you.
Well, thank you to the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. God bless you. Thank you for that reminder about the service this evening, Derek, and I encourage you to come out to that service. I just want to clarify our schedule the next couple of Sundays. Next Sunday, December 20th, we will have Sunday school. And then the following Sunday, December 27th, there'll be no Sunday school. Our service will begin at 9:30. We're going to have our Christmas celebration here in the sanctuary. But we're not going to be serving refreshments as we have in years past because of COVID. So just so you are clear about our services moving forward in the next several Sundays. So thank you for your kind attention this morning. Would you stand for this benediction? Now may the God of peace transform and restore you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.